Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, golfers. Your tee time awaits. It's the Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550. Tee to Green on WGR is presented by Woods to Wedges, by Michelob Ultra, by the Western New York PGA, by Custom Turf, and by our home clubs, Fox Valley, Tantara, and Briarwood. It's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Koziol, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Mitis.
7 o'clock, good morning. The final week of the Tee to Green Golf Show is here and on the air. A little bittersweet, but we're here and we're ready to go here on the final day of August on WGR Sports Radio 550. Our tour has come to an end. It brings us back from where we started, back here in our Amherst studios. Brian Koziol, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mitis, Derek Kramer producing for us as always. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Brian. I want to go in-depth on trading Russ Bodine to the Patriots.
You have the floor. Go.
Brilliant. The guy wasn't very good. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, got a sixth round. That's pretty good. Got a bunch of sixth-rounders next year.
The guy wasn't very – when they signed him last year, right? He wasn't the lowest-rated center in the league.
Something like that, yeah. Good, the Patriots are hurting.
You know, the Patriots will turn him into a Pro Bowler, though, because of their quarterback. Yeah. Anyhow.
It'll be a great story.
I'm just saying, that's for the guy that – that's for the curmudgeon always tweets us, I want to talk football at 7 a.m. on a Saturday. I've been waiting all night. Okay.
There it is.
You're going to get the rest of the day here and the whole season – on WGR.
That's right.
Awesome. Okay.
Coming up here on the show.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
Did I even say good morning?
When I say good morning to you, at least.
Okay.
I knew that. All right. I don't know. You went elsewhere. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning. Let's keep this normal here.
That's right.
Yes.
Derek, good morning.
How are you guys doing today?
Thanks for keeping us astray here. Thanks for keeping us on par here all year. That's
I got
right.
Derek to crack a smile, though, with that take, right?
Yeah, yes. No, I mean... Yeah, the floor was yours. It was the absolutely right take there.
That's right.
Thank you. I appreciate
absolutely.
It.
All right, let's restart this.
All right. Coming up here over the next 58 minutes, we're going to get our West New York PGA tip of the week. Jeff's going to tell you since, or at least our show's not going to be going on during the fall, but what to do during the fall and keep your game sharp. There's still plenty of good golf left, we hope.
The best golf. Yeah, the
that's
best
right.
time of year to play.
Absolutely. We'll get our Absolute Care Champions Tour report, our PGA Tour check of the leaderboard. I'll tell you, there's no leaderboard to check, but we'll look ahead of what's coming. President's Cup preview, we'll do a little bit of that. Steve Beatty, one of our presenting sponsors from Custom Turf, joining us at 7:20 on the line. A couple of other news and notes we'll get along the way here. Something with Rory Phil interviewing Justin Thomas on his latest Fireside Phil chats.
Those are great.
So we'll get that in all coming up here. And good time to, again, remind you that Tee to Green is presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to Wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, Michelob Ultra, Custom Turf, and our home clubs, Fox Valley, Tantara, and Briarwood. And we'll do it at the end, but kudos to all of our sponsors, all of our golf courses throughout the year that have hosted our show. We appreciate you helping us bring you a great show, we hope, every single week, talking golf here in Western New York.
Doesn't happen without the sponsors, that's for sure. So, and you, the listeners, and our Tee to Green Club members, Brian. We have our
what are we giving away today?
Final major giveaway today for Tee to Green Club members. Somebody listening is saying, well, how do I win that? Well, if you didn't register to be a Tee to Green Club member, free, teetogreen.golf, that's T-E-E, the number 2, green.golf. That's our website. That's where you sign up to be a Tee to Green Club member. That's how you get our newsletter. And that's where you're eligible to win. So we have all the names here in this box.
It's a nice box, too.
Yes. You know, it is. It's a great. You like the box is a little beaten up, but the names in there are not. And it's the Michelob Ultra Callaway Golf Stand Bag, which
Ooh, nice.
Yes, yeah, it's pretty sweet. It's red, white, and blue. When I the reveal video,
I'm surprised you're giving it away. Kevin.
Well, that's exactly
away somewhere.
You're thinking exactly like me.
Send it up in Kevin's trunk pretty soon.
I pulled it out of the box and I'm like, ooh.
Instead, you want a Fox Valley bag, slightly used.
That's right, with the name Kevin S on it.
Yes.
I don't know if that's intriguing to anyone.
Yes. I don't have one of those.
My name's Jim. It's Kevin. Here, take it.
I have a quick story. I put 7 staff bags on the road. I get staff bags every year from Titleist.
Yeah.
And after a while, what are you going to do with 15 staff bags? I put them on the curb one day, so somebody came by and took all 7. So there's 7 big Titleist staff bags with my name on them floating around Niagara County somewhere.
Awesome.
I don't know what he's going to do with them. You can't get the names off, but...
You could probably buzz those out. There's got to be a way to, you know, buzz the stitching out of those things.
And they're big, so yeah, you're not carrying them.
Right. Yeah, that's not the Sunday bag that you're carrying around the course.
Yes. So,
which, by the way, the other night, sorry, guys, I have not edited the videos yet, but there's a lot of editing that we need to do. We shot one of the things that you'll see on tdgreen.golf and our YouTube channel, which we're going to make more use of in the off season. Is we went to Bobolink the other night, a course that we visited during the season on our TD Green tour, and we went out to Bobolink and we played and videoed some of it, did a couple tips out there, and it was so much fun. It was great.
It was cool. It's a cool place.
Under the lights, I mean, what a great time.
I love how you can, like, how the tee box was lit, the green was lit, you hit the shot, but the ball you could follow, and then it comes back down into the light, and you're like, oh. It's a really cool venue.
It is
venue.
A cool aesthetic. Yeah,
it's in good shape too. We went over there, I was impressed.
It's like tracers. Yeah, like you hit a shot and the lights pick it up. It looks like a tracer just flying through the air out there. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, we had a good time.
So it's like the shot tracer on
sort of
TV. Boy, if you could bring that into 3D in life. If you had the shot tracer.
Oh, when you're playing golf? wear some special glasses?
The technology is going to exist that, there'll be some sunglasses that we wear, golf glasses, right? That change with tint. This is going to happen. This is my future prediction. Somebody's probably already working on it, right? Because if I'm thinking of it right here, someone, some nerd, is in a laboratory who's already...
Or about to be rich man, you mean?
Yeah. Well, whatever. is thinking about this, like, I'm going to make a lens that you can put in glasses. And it, no matter what the golf ball, boom, you can hit it and it's going to... You can visually see the tracer so you never lose a golf ball again.
Yeah. Well, there'll be something in the golf ball, I'm sure.
Well, they've
soon,
already
too.
Done that,
right?
That's already there.
It's connected with your phone. It's like radar. It'll send you right to your ball.
I think our sponsor
Encore,
might be working.
Yeah,
on something
Encore
like that.
Yeah. Has been working on the Genius Ball with the chip that's going into it. So
correct.
That's already in development. There, I'm saying this is in connection with glasses that you can wear that visually you see the tracer line with the golf ball. Would that be cool or not?
I don't think so. I don't think I'd like that. I just like watching the ball. Yeah. I don't know. I want to have to see all that extra stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a purist.
The data will be up in the upper right-hand corner.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh,
the flight, Terminator. The distance, the carry, all that
well,
stuff.
Well, that'll be with our Lee Majors eye implant. Now, when you need glasses, you're just going to implant the new eye.
I know.
I'm kidding. Anyhow.
That's right.
No, I'm just... But you know what? I can envision that happening at some point where, like, we watch golf on television... And the shot tracer shape, I used to not like it. Mm-hmm. It's like when Fox.
The glowing puck.
Glow puck, and I didn't like that. At golf, I was like, because they do it on every shot, but now sometimes when they're offline, that's what I want to see. When they're online, fine. But when they're offline, you like to see the shape of the shot.
Yeah, I like the shot tracer. I think it's been a nice addition to golf coverage because it is hard to follow the ball for, it's so small and it moves so fast. You can tell by the body language of the player usually where they hit it, but the shot tracer is pretty cool. You see guys hit it different trajectories, different heights, stuff like that.
I was reading an article just about sports coverage in general, and they said, with all the technology on broadcasts over the last decade, like which one has had the most impact? And the two that were voted the most was the first down line in football.
Which is great.
And the shot tracer in golf. It was the top, there were other things like the strike zone box in baseball, and there were some other things. But the top two in terms of like its impact, in terms of popularity and people enjoying the viewing of the sport more was the first down line in football and the shot tracer in golf.
Yeah, no, I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm always the guy, you know, especially reach one more second. Like, of course. You know, the guy obviously can't see the first down.
Oh, on the
line.
First down, right,
yeah.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I'm like, why didn't you just reach one more, you know, inch there to get the first, you know, of course it's not.
Yeah, how do they not know they needed one more step on that route, right? Like, well,
how are you running that route 9.5 yards?
Well, you know what? You have to think, why haven't they developed technology where, you know, the field lights up, where the lines...
It might be coming.
Right? I mean, yeah. When they're putting artificial turf in, you'd think they'd be able to put that, and then some operator up there would... You know, be able to put up a first down.
Is it one of the problems because it's green screen technology and the fields are typically green, so you couldn't do that with that, right? Out on the football field. I don't know. I think I'm out of my area of expertise.
The NFL is so behind in so many ways. They're still using the chain link thing to do first downs when they could laser it and be done in a second. They take an hour for a replay when it could be done in a second. I mean, there's certain things they just don't want to change. So who knows what their thoughts are on that. But.
So is there anything in golf that could be added?
Well, Fox loves to do the coverage where they put, like, the video game look that we see when you play golf on a video game on, like, the quarter, the right quarter of the screen, and then, you know, the three-quarter big part of the screen, they show the shot. And then the shot tracer is, like, the overhead shot of that. That's different. I know Fox likes to do that a little more than maybe the other networks do.
They do, you know, the one thing they do that I like, the drone footage, right? But they'll bring it over the water. You can't, you know... There's a safety issue, right, with drones. So the times they've used it, like Chambers Bay was the first time they brought it out. Remember? So they had the robotic cameras on a track that would go up through the rough there by the green, or they would show the topography of some holes. They drove a remote control car with a camera, you know, down. Instead of taking the aerial view, it was the ground view driving up. It was different. But the drone footage they had, they were actually out in the bay over the water, you know, along a couple of those holes. And the reason why they couldn't bring the drone over, you know, during play is because of safety, fan safety.
Right? If it drops or something.
Yes, yep. If it drops, okay. You know, with that, something interferes with it. They couldn't do that. You know, the other part about it is it's noisy. Like you can hear a drone, you hear that buzz of a drone when it's above you and playing. And, you know, I think players would probably get used to it if they weren't concerned about safety. But, that would be an interesting, you know, different angle to take.
I like hearing the players and the caddies talk. You know, I'd like to see the players mic'd up a little bit more, you know, so you can hear. They'd have to be aware that they're mic'd up, obviously. Right. I'm sure they would be. But I like the interaction. I like what they're thinking. I like to hear, hey, you know, how I'm going to try to flight this ball or what club I'm picking or where I'm trying to land it. That's the stuff I like to hear when I'm watching golf.
When we've heard probably Spieth and Michael Greller, the two of them, were probably mic'd up more. At least their conversations seem to be broadcast more than others. Like that seems to be. But I agree with you. I like hearing them talk it out. I like to hear the caddies, suggestions and advice, and then seeing how the player takes that in and whether or not they're going to use all of it or whether they're going to fully agree or disagree. Or like I like that banter back and forth. I think it's healthy because for us. It's a way for us to insight of, hey, how should we be thinking and processing our shots as we get ready to hit?
So you think about that. So they do that with a shotgun mic, and that's by a person carrying the shotgun mic. You've probably seen them on TV. Yep. They got the big fuzzy, for the folks who want it, it looks like they got a leaf blower, but it's actually just big fuzzy long thing. That's a shotgun microphone, and there are people, that's what they do. That's their job all season long. There's about, you know, I could probably pick five out of a crowd. Shotgun mic, you know, that's what they do. And because they know where to stand with the players, and the players are used to them being around, but they're in close proximity.
Yeah.
Even though it's a shotgun mic, and it's called a shotgun because you can pick it up from a long distance, they're near them. And not only that, the cameraman's near them, and the guy carrying the tripod too, right? Yeah. So golfers, like you see them on TV, it's not always a long camera, and sometimes the players have to wait. If someone's wondering who's away, like they have to wait for the camera guy to get in position.
Yeah.
I see it happen all the time. And you see a player like, okay, hurry up.
Right.
I like when the camera's directly down the target line or, you know.
Yeah, right behind him, right?
Right behind him. I hate when because I'm looking for swings. I'm looking for what they're doing. I want to see if they started on their target line, you know, and stuff like that. Or directly face on. So when you're looking at, because sometimes, you know, you get you get it from a side. I know it's hard to do, though, because they're running around and everything else, but I wish they had some stationary cameras or cameras on a slide in the behind par three tee so you could get directly behind the players. They're off center a lot, and it gives, for me, it's a bad angle to check out a golf swing.
So they've been doing that, actually. They've been on certain par threes, they've been fixing cameras, mm-hmm. You know, behind them. And if they line up on that, you know, they'll take it sometimes. But if the player, you know, goes to the right side of the tee box, left side of the tee box, kind of what you're talking
That's what
about,
I mean,
right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that might be the next thing where they move it on a track where they can move it, slide it to where that player sets
just
up.
Directly behind them. Yeah, yes. That'd be neat, I think, just as a viewer.
It would be easy, though, to do what you said in terms of more caddy player conversations. I mean, you could have a mic in every caddy's bag. Or in every golfer's bag. I mean, as long as, you know, you're letting them know, hey, we're going to... You know, mic certain people up this week. There's going to be a mic in your bag, just letting you know. I mean, I would assume most players, you know, just like they do with every time they mic a coach or a player or whatever, obviously, you know, the consent is given, and obviously they're going to say, hey, if there's some conversation there, you know, we'll have it on delay in case something happens. But, like, I mean, I think that would be cool to hear more of those things.
Well, what they've done, I think miking a player up, I think is a little invasive to their swings and their such.
So that's what I'm saying. If you put it on the bag, you're not
put it on the caddy.
It's not at all, or on the caddy.
The caddy, I think,
not at all in getting in the way of the player or the swinger and anything like that.
I think one of the things that Sky Golf has done, and they've infiltrated a little bit here on the American broadcast, but if you ever get a chance to see Sky Golf coverage for anything, they will interview players
while they're playing,
which I hate.
During the round. I actually think it's pretty good, you know, to talk to a player, hey, you just, wow, what an amazing up and down you just had there. Ah, you know, that was a tough one here.
Didn't Golf Channel do that earlier in the season?
They started to, yeah. It depends on the player, right, if they want to do it.
Yeah, I'm not.
You don't like it? Why not?
I don't like the interview. You're in a mindset when you're playing. You know, the last thing you want to go over is say, "Hey, what a wonderful par you made today." You know, something like that. You're in full grind mode usually.
Well, they're all not robots. So I'll give you an example of this. And Rory McIlroy just won the Tour Championship, which we got to get to at some point. But so in Mexico this past year. He on the opening hole was playing 305, and he hits this towering shot to 2 feet, taps in for eagle. And I was trying to get to Harry to find out, Harry Diamond is caddy, to find out what club he hit. And he's not a big talker, whatever. I've talked to him a few times. Nice enough guy. And so Rory had, you know, just tapped in and standing behind, and it's very tight. I go, hey, Rory, what did you hit there? And he goes, oh, it was a 2-iron. I'm like, oh, awesome. I thought that would be great to do on the air. Like, instead of me just, and so I'm like, hey, I just asked Rory. He told me it was a 2-iron. Instead of saying, hey, guys, you know, I'm here with Rory McIlroy. Rory, that was
a
shot.
Yeah, that I don't mind. But I mean, when there's an interview station at number 7 and the person's there.
Oh, then they walk with them.
The fairway.
Yeah, it's a walk and talk. Up the fairway. They're not stopping with Amanda Baleonis, like, you know, at a stationary spot. But, like, if there's weights on tee boxes, sometimes there are, I think.
Yeah, I guess it's not the end of the world.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Again, some players are going to be great. Look at they interview the coaches at the end of quarters sometimes in an NBA game.
And those are mostly terrible.
And the NHL interviews on the benches are awful.
So, football,
now,
awful.
That's coach speak. You're getting the actual competitor here. So it you might get a little better. And I think you're right, Kevin. I think as long as you know who you're asking, and after a while, I mean, because you've done enough interviews too, a lot of times you know, hey, this guy's going to give me something good. Hey, this might just not be great at all. Like, you kind of get to know, you know, who's Mike.
Well, that's what I see. Most of those interviews to me after the rounds are just, you know, they're just PR, basic, saying nothing.
I'll say this. An example I use with Rory. He's one of maybe a handful of players I would ask directly what he used. There's other guys I would not even dream of bothering during the round of golf. No way.
It's just, you get to know the people. Yeah,
it's you just know the player's personality. Like, hey, I can tell this guy, you know, I can ask him a question, or I could tell him, hey, I think the ball went out here. You know, there's other guys I'm like, Tiger, never, right? Mm-hmm. Never even speak. I've only spoken to Joe LaCava twice. During rounds, and it was just about, hey, am I in your way? Like, pretty much like that, and they're just brief. Like, but I would never dream of saying anything to Tiger
during the course of a round.
During the course of a round, it's because he's you know, he's laser focused. I was actually in his way. Joe told me Tiger said nothing, looked nothing, and Joe was like, I'm not sure, but I think so. Like, other players will look at you and be like, yeah, need you to move, whatever. So, anyhow.
All right. Yeah, we'll get to the Tour Championship and Rory's win.
Which was cool.
And his $15 million check. We'll get to that coming up. Tip of the week as well. But let's get to a interview on Custom Turf. Steve Beatty, proud to have him as one of our presenting sponsors and his company, Custom Turf, a nice local company in Western New York. And if you don't know what Custom Turf is about, well, we're going to give you the opportunity to learn a little bit right now here. Steve joins us online. Steve, good morning. Brian, Jeff, and Kevin here in studio. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
We're excellent. Thanks for having us on. Thanks again for supporting Tee to Green. And we know Custom Turf is now getting to be a bigger and bigger name in Western New York golf. Steve, I know we ask you this every time, but somebody is hearing about Custom Turf for the first time. Tell us what your company's all about.
Well, we've been in the synthetic turf business for, I think this is 23 or 24 years now. Started out with golf, with the putting greens and tee lines and any indoor or outdoor practice features of golf, and that's kind of why we got into it. Our love was golf, and we've spread other directions with pet turf and indoor training and different things, but golf is what we really like.
Yes, and all of us here like golf, and we all have taken advantage of your great opportunities with Custom Turf. And you know, Jeff and Kevin have a little putting green in their basement. I've got one in my backyard. It's great. I was putting on it yesterday. Another beautiful day.
Yeah, we got the tee line at Glen Oak too. It's awesome. Yeah, 50 yards of artificial turf. You can put a tee in, and when it's rainy or wet or the, you know,
you don't have to close the range.
We don't have to close the range.
There's only a couple things I use every day in my house. The toilet's one, and my putting green's the other.
And
you know,
and the refrigerator, I would guess, right? That's for me.
Not the toothbrush.
Yeah.
But Steve, someone listening thinking, okay, you're like, how do you put a putting green in someone's house? Just explain how that's done and like what typical areas are.
A lot of times a basement is a great spot, a family room or a man cave, or there's a couple different base systems. You need to have it off the ground unless you want to drill a hole in the floor, which we've also done. But with the base, you can make the contour any contour that you would like. You can have pretty much any contour as long as you have a base system underneath it. And we do putting surfaces, first cut, second cut. And really all we need is, say, a size of a room or an area that you have in mind. And either myself or Tony can design a plan to fit into that area and generate a rendering that'll show you, okay, this is what it'll look like if you decide to move forward. And then if so, then we set a date, okay, on December 21st, before Christmas, we'll be there to put her in.
Hint, hint.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, it was cool when you guys installed the putting green in my basement, and I was like, it's great, just the turf. And you're like, no, we're going to put holes in. Steve says, no, we're putting holes in. I'm like, how the heck are you going to do that? And sure enough, boom, they did it, and I'm so glad we did. It's just the best.
Absolutely.
It really is.
So Steve, I know now is a time to start to think about indoor opportunities, as you mentioned. I know that people might be thinking it's too early maybe to think about holiday gifts, but this would be a good time to maybe contact you and set it up. If you have a golfer in your life, you ever want to get them, you know, give them that dream gift of maybe an indoor putting green, or maybe even one in your yard, like, this is the time to set it up, right?
Yeah, this is a perfect time. We've had a real busy summer, and we're looking good for the remainder of fall, and now's the more planning we can do anything like this, the better.
And always pet better. And the pet turf for the winter.
That's right.
Explain what that's all about, Steve.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
The turf, the pet turf, if you will. Explain what that's about for folks with pets. Come winter time here.
Oh, sure. Yep. Pet turf normally, I mean, we've done indoor applications that are, again, on a base and drains to a certain system for a doggy daycare center or something like that. Most of the pet turf is outdoors. That's installed similar to a golf green. It's on a gravel base, so all the urine will run through with Mother Nature's help. And it's just a nice, clean way to get rid of your mud in your house, really, is the biggest thing.
Absolutely.
I have a piece in my front, in the mudroom in the front hallway. Yeah, I got a big old dog. He comes in, he's muddy, he cleans up on that instead of my carpet. Yeah.
Yeah. Steve, one other thing I know I've seen on your website that I might be calling you for is I right now have the...
Might be?
Yes. I have the inability to be able to grow grass around my son's play set and swing set out in the backyard because he keeps dragging his feet. And I'm like,
your grass with his
I'm
farm.
Like, would you just lift your feet here? I'm like, I'm trying to grow grass or whatever. But I saw on your website you guys obviously do some things with playgrounds and kid areas. And I think, you know, even adding extra padding and stuff like that. I mean, it adds not only to a really nice clean look for the frustrated dad that's trying to maintain the yard, and also maybe for everybody a nice little safe spot, too, for the kids to play. I know that that's something else that you guys do.
Yeah, playgrounds are another great application. Good, clean, and tidy. Depending on the fall zone requirements, there's padding for underneath the turf. So if your son or daughter falls off the top of the slide and lands on their noggin, they bounce up and run back up the slide.
Awesome.
See, concussion prevention. Steve, thanks so much for your support of the show, and we will find a date to play. We have struck out a few times. We will find a date to play golf before.
All right, that sounds great. That's the most part I enjoy of this business is getting out and seeing people and playing golf.
Yes, amen to that.
That's right. Steve, thanks for your support of the show. Again, CustomTurf.com is the website, a great local company here in Western New York. We always say support local companies. If you're thinking about a putting green for a gift or for somebody in your family, it's a great idea. You can put it outside. You can put it in your basement, in a big room, in a small room. You can put it in your backyard like I did. Kevin and Jeff have it in their basement. It's really cool setup. Anything, you know, as we said, for playground area, for your pets, all different. You can check out the photos, CustomTurf.com, all the different ideas. And if you have an idea, yeah, you can bring it to Steve and his people, and I'm sure they'll take care of it.
We each have something different, which is really cool. Like, you know, I mine's a putting area with two different cuts of rough, so I can chip and putt. Jeff has a whole
you got a
workstation, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I have a studio, basically. I hit balls and chip and putt and everything else. Yeah. Yeah. So I have a net down there.
And you have the backyard
and
green,
mine's in my
right?
backyard. Yeah. So I was out there last night putting while I was in between grilling last night. That's
your
right.
Your neighbors sneak out?
That's right.
Yeah, catch the kids.
Yeah, you catch neighborhood kids like sneaking out, like instead of pool hopping, they're green hopping.
They're chipping.
Right. Yeah.
The kids love coming over and playing. That's right. Absolutely. So, Steve, thanks again. We appreciate it. And CustomTurf.com is the website. Good luck. Have a wonderful fall. And, yes, we'll get out for golf soon.
All right. That sounds good. You guys have a good day. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Steve Beatty, Custom Turf. Check it out again, CustomTurf.com. All right, when we come back, we will discuss Rory McIlroy's win at the Tour Championship. The PGA Tour season came to an end. He took home the big $15 million prize. We'll talk about that with his showdown with Brooks Koepka last week. Our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week, our Absolute Care Champions Tour report, all coming up. A good deed this week by some high schoolers, some golf on a golf team. I want to share that as well. We're always about sharing good news. And did you see the video with the practice swing divot that actually moved the ball? Did you see that, Kevin?
Yes.
All right. We'll ask Jeff what the rule is on that. So we'll have that coming up, too, here. Along the way, TD Green, our final show of the season, along with Jeff Mitis, Kevin Sylvester, I'm Brian Koziel, here on WGR.
Let me dig for my rule book.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time for a check of the PGA Tour leaderboard, brought to you by Encore Golf, Buffalo's Golf Ball, and by Donald Ross, the world's finest golf apparel, and by New Era Golf, headwear engineered to perform that never sacrifices style.
7:33, back here on TD Green, Brian Koziel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro, Jeff Mitis, Derek Kramer producing. Thanks for being with us. Our final show of the season. It is time for a check of the PGA Tour leaderboard. No event this week. One of the rare weeks there actually is no golf provided by the PGA Tour. There is European Tour golf and the other events going on, which we'll get to in a moment. But the Tour Championship wrapped up last week, And Rory McIlroy ended up coming out on top. He won by four over Xander Schauffele. But he was going toe-to-toe with Brooks Koepka. They were in the final pairing. It was a juicy final pairing of Koepka and McIlroy. And Rory beat him by six and then went on to win the FedEx Cup playoffs, the Tour Championship, and the $15 million prize. Xander Schauffele, for finishing second, got $5 million. Justin Thomas and Brooks Koepka, who I'm sure were disappointed with their final rounds, they end up splitting a little two and change million apiece. So
I thought it was three and a half.
Or three and a half each, yeah. That's right.
And Koepka's putt on 18 was worth $1 million.
And he missed it, yeah.
Yeah. Had it gone in, he would have made $1 million more, I believe.
Yeah, because then he would have moved up into a tie for second. That's right.
Yeah.
Eighth place got $1 million.
Right.
That's insane.
And bonus cash. It's bonus cash, and I believe it's paid out in an annuity or something like that.
That's right. So McIlroy gets it done. We'll talk about that in one moment in terms of his impact. But let's get our Absolute Care PGA Tour Champions Tour leaderboard. There actually is golf there this week. And the Shaw Charity Classic is going on right now. Through one round, Michael Bradley is your leader. He's at 9-under par. Steve Flesch, one back at minus -8. They're playing at Canyon Meadows Golf and Country Club in Calgary, Alberta. It's a beautiful spot. I was watching a little of that. Yeah, it's some pretty nice TV.
Mickelson's got a course that just opened or is going to open in Calgary. I believe it's Mickelson National or something like that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's great spots to
Calgary's beautiful, I went there last year.
Yeah, on a trip. It was awesome. I played at Banff Springs Golf Club.
There you go.
Stanley Thompson design.
Mm, nice.
Which we know some of the courses right over the border here are Stanley Thompson designs.
So Rory McIlroy, here's the reason why he won. Because he drove the ball better than anybody else. I mean, he put on a clinic driving the golf ball. And that's one of the few courses they play where if you're offline, as we saw with Koepka, you're in trouble. Like, a lot of them, they can, you know, they can still reach greens, you know, manufacture shots out of there. I mean, he lost a golf ball. Was it on 14 or 15? You know, he lost the ball. Like, when is the last time a PGA Tour player lost a ball that was not wet, right?
That's true. Yeah, he's one of the most beautiful drivers of the golf ball I've ever seen.
It's mostly all carry.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I say this a lot. You know, I don't get too geeked out about a lot of golf stuff. Watching Rory McIlroy roast drivers, like standing right next to him on the range, is pretty darn cool. Yeah, he hits it hard, and it goes high and far and straight. Yeah.
The two of them, Koepka and McIlroy, were paired together at the World Golf Event in Memphis about a month ago, and Koepka took it to him pretty good. But there was a chance for McIlroy to get him back, and obviously with maybe more on the line, well, definitely with more on the line, and he comes in. And there was some talk afterwards, Kevin, about McIlroy maybe jumping back into that Player of the Year race. Now, Koepka ended up winning. Golf still, right now, judged by majors, even more so than the playoffs. I know the Tour would love the playoffs to get at the level that the majors do. I don't know if it'll ever get to that, but right now, it's still judged by majors. And for Koepka to go what he did, where he finished second at the Masters, you know, second at the U.S. Open, wins the PGA, and then fourth at the British. Like, I mean,
it's
beyond the fact
year.
That he won the World Golf Championship, he had won an event earlier. Like, I mean, that's a pretty great event.
He won three times, repeated as a major champion, and he was runner-up in two other majors. You know, Rory's season.
And fourth in the other.
Yeah, any other year, Rory's a player of the, any other year. He's a player of the year. I mean, he won the Players' Championship. He won the FedEx Cup. He won the Canadian Open. He
had
so many top 10. Yeah. I mean, he won all these things. He would have, I mean, to me, it was Koepka or Rory. Yeah.
And who would you have voted for?
I would have voted for Koepka.
Yeah, me too.
And I think the Tour's got something here with this, how they did this final Tour Championship with the he started at minus 10 or whatever it was. I think
you liked it?
I did like it. I thought it made the event way more exciting. I think with the huge money at the end of the year and how you know your guaranteed eighth place gets $1 million, I think they've done a really, really nice job with that. And I do think, you know, going forward, people are going to tune in to see this a little bit more than, you know, not like the Masters, but still.
The only thing, if they were to ask me, and by the way, they have a fan council they ask every year on these things that they put together. I don't know if they're still taking submissions for it. PGAtour.com, fan council, you can look for it. But I just thought 10 under was too big of a lead on the guys who were, you know, the bottom 15, if you will. Mm-hmm. Like if a 30-man event, you know, the guy who comes in 30th, like, you know, he should have a better chance at having a great week and winning.
But didn't he earn that by playing great all year and getting to number one? What do you earn if you're the best player all year?
All right, so what if, you don't have to be the best player all year to get that spot.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Just perspective, McIlroy started five back. He started at minus five.
Right. The best player all year was Koepka in points, and he got $2 million in a Wyndham Rewards bonus. There was 10 players. The top 10 got additional bonus money called Wyndham Rewards. Going into the FedEx Cup.
That's true. Yep.
So, you know, we can feel bad for Koepka. He got a $2 million bonus for being number one going in. So there's a reward going in, and you're in great position to make it to East Lake to the Tour Championship.
Right. And it is a playoff, like you said. It's a playoff. Anybody can win.
Right.
And that's the whole idea, is to get in so you win.
I mean, you can still say anybody can win, but if I'm Lucas Glover and I'm going in, I think Dustin Johnson finished last, didn't he?
Yeah, he was awful this week.
Lucas Glover, I'm 10 strokes back of the leader.
Mm-hmm.
It's doable. Rory did five. It's certainly doable. Justin Thomas, who went in at 10. I'm just wondering, I don't know, is seven? What's the right number?
Well, I think I can agree with you there. Maybe they need to tweak it. I also agree. I think we talked last week that maybe some other events major should have more weight in the points to get into it and things. I'm sure they'll make tweaks as NASCAR does every year.
That's what they were saying with Tiger. They wanted, you know, Lowry and Woods both won majors. Like, give that more weight so that they end up, it's easier for them to be in the top 30. They want the major winners to be in there for obvious
reasons. Those guys kind of got buys to the second round, if you will. If you want to look at it that way.
True.
Like, if you have a great, great year, you know, Liberty National at the Northern Trust, that's the first round. That's like a wild card round.
Yeah.
Guys play anyways because they're in the playoffs, but it doesn't mean as much as it does to guys like Harold Varner III, who played his way into the BMW Championship in the second round of the playoffs. Yeah. The guys who won majors, they basically got a bye into the second round of the playoffs.
And I would say this, Woods and Lowry, I know, you know, obviously Tiger is an incredible draw. It's almost a unique discussion on its own. But look at Tiger's year and look at Lowry's year beyond just their major win. It was almost nothing.
Not much.
I mean, So the fact that they still had an opportunity to make that top 30, and it was very close for both of them, like, maybe the math is right on that. Even, I know, having Tiger in that event would be better. I'm all for it, but
I wonder,
are we saying it only because it's Woods? Like,
yeah.
You know.
I wonder what the reaction would have been, and this had to have been discussed with this, where, okay, if we're going to make it a true playoff, all right, top 125, get in. Top 70, go next week. Top 30, go to the championship. No, you know, points don't matter. It's just order of finish, right? But the argument was, well, wait a second. Guys worked all year long in the past to make it to the Tour Championship on this point system, which I do think matters, because
it's supposed to be a season long. I mean,
yeah, it's a season long race.
In other sports, you get a bye, you get home field, all these things. For golf, this is what you can do. You can award points to make it easier to advance. Which,
sure,
I think it's the best it's ever been. I agree that what Jeff said. Like, I liked the fact that we all knew where everybody stood. That was the most important piece to me.
That made the TV watching better, because whoever won. That's what I liked about it, as opposed to, well, I'm going to finish fourth or fifth, but I'm going to win. It's confusing.
What I like about it is you have to have some star power, right, all the way to the end. And by doing the system they have the way now, they eliminate the possibility of Koepka having a terrible week, you know, in week one and being out of the playoffs.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it is different than football.
That's right. Anyway, our check of the PGA Tour leaderboard, we want to thank our season-long sponsors for giving us our PGA Tour leaderboard. Encore Golf, Donald Ross, and New Era Cap, thank you for those three, and Absolute Care for our PGA Tour Champions Report. So thank you for them. Hey, before we go to break here, a good deed, and we actually saw this gentleman last week when we did our show at Ivy Ridge. So kudos to Orchard Park Golf Coach Nate Leary and his team. This week, high school golf getting underway.
It started, yep. We've had matches at Glen Oak all week.
So for one of their practices, you'll love this, Jeff, for someone I know that cares about this a lot. Kevin, you do too, obviously. The Orchard Park High School golf team on Monday morning met at 6 a.m. at their home course at Orchard Park Country Club. And their practice for the day was that they walked the entire course as a team, filled every divot, replaced every ball mark they could as a thank you for having them as their home course for the year. They walked the entire course. They met at 6 a.m. That was the practice for the day.
It's a good way to do it. You know, he's a great high school golf coach and active golf. But a lot of high schools do that. Yeah. I know Williamsville North has done stuff like that. My college team, we used to give back with stuff like that at Niagara Falls. Yeah, you want to show your appreciation, and it makes, you know, because the members see you out there playing, and they wonder, you know, hey, what are they giving back? And that's a great way to keep your membership happy when you see somebody doing that they appreciate the ability to use the facility.
Yeah, very nice. Okay, timeout. Final segment of our final show of the season. When we return here, we'll get Jeff's Western New York PGA Tip of the Week. What should you do to keep your game sharp going forward here in the fall and the winter? He'll tell you that when we return here on Tee to Green, along with Jeff Mitas and Kevin Sylvester. I'm Brian Colziel, back with Tee to Green right after this.
Listen up, golfers. Here comes the Western New York PGA Tip of the Week, brought to you by the Western New York PGA. The Western New York PGA has one goal, promoting and growing the game of golf today, tomorrow, and beyond.
Ironically, it's the same song, Kevin, you and I heard in Jeff's car this morning at 6 in the morning when we pulled into the parking lot.
That's no joke.
Is that just automatically when you walk, like, into places, this plays to somewhere like
everywhere I go, there's hip hop bumps. Let's put it that way.
I'm waiting for next year. KTEL Records presents the sounds of Tee to Green.
I like it.
Was
I
that
like
Casey Kasem?
It was a little bit of Casey Kasem. A little bit.
That's right.
We won't stop until we reach the top.
How are you going to get your hip hop bumps in the morning from now on? Yeah.
That's right.
There's a Spotify channel. It's called Meat.
That's right.
There might be.
That's Jeff's nickname, by the way.
Yes, yes.
That's
right.
Welcome back here on Tee to Green, our final segment of our final show. Thanks for being with us all season long. We'll get our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week here in just one moment, as you heard. But Kevin, during the break, live video drawing. We just tweeted out the winner of a great giveaway.
Yeah, Scott Townsend, who just signed up recently, actually, I think in the last 2 weeks. So congratulations to Scott. The video's up. So people, which, by the way, when we posted our first video, I remember, like, I was tagged into someone said, how could he win? He's on the show. It's like, no. No, watch the video. We do it on video so people see it's legit, drawn out of the fancy box we have here.
Oh, yeah.
And congratulations, Scott. I'll be in touch on how to get the golf bag to you.
Okay. Congratulations, Scott. If you want to be a part of our giveaways, because our show ends.
I was going to say, Scott, if you want to sell it back to me for $50, I'll buy it for $50. All right, anyways.
Just because our show ends, Kevin, doesn't mean Tee to Green club membership stops.
Yes, no. We are teetogreen.golf. We've got podcasts that'll be going up, blog, newsletter, and there'll be giveaways throughout the fall.
Some new tips coming from Jeff, too, that we just filmed this week. So we'll have those tips all throughout the fall and the winter. That video that was going around this week, a golfer in his practice routine, standing behind the ball, about maybe 10, 12 feet behind the ball, took a practice shot and took a divot. Well, the divot jumped forward and actually hit the ball, and the ball moved a few feet forward. Like, it wasn't even just it landed on. Like, it moved the ball. And so we talked about it, had the rule. And according to the USGA, rule 9.5B, with exception four, in many situations, the rules require a player to perform actions near or next to the ball. But if the ball accidentally moved while taking these reasonable actions, which is a practice swing, the ball may be replaced with no penalty.
Good. Yeah, the rules have gotten easier. Yes. I mean, they're a little more forgiving now with the changes. Yeah,
there was
more reasonable.
And I'll sum it up in plain words here. There was no intent. It was accidental. Move it back.
And
no
that's
penalty,
when there's no penalty, you replace it. You always, almost in every situation, you always replace the ball.
That's right. Absolutely. All right, Western New York PGA Tip of the Week time. Jeff, I know that our show ends. We'll be still giving some great tips on teetogreen.golf, but just upcoming fall golf into the winter, what are some things and some tips to keep your game sharp?
Well, first, I'd like to congratulate Kirk Stauffer winning the senior championship. Kirk's a buddy of ours. He beat another buddy, John Hecker, by a shot over at Ridgemont. Kirk, I think that's his fifth senior championship. He's a great player. Congratulations to him. But this time of year is great. You know, most of your tournaments are over. Most of your competitive stuff's over. It's just a great time to get out and play golf. This is a time to experiment and try to expand your repertoire, as they say. So, you know, if you're not a fader, maybe you learn to hit a fade, or go out on a golf course and try to hit draws the whole way around. One thing I like, or one club, there's a lot of things you can do to make your game better this fall instead of just going out and playing. Try to challenge yourself with something every time you go out this fall. So I like taking every other club, like odd irons one day or even irons the next day, and trying to hit more shots, or take four or five clubs and go out and walk nine with just a few clubs in your bag. And it's a good time to get a lesson. If you want to improve for next year, this is a good time to start. You want to get with your pro, get with your PGA professional, come up with a plan of things you want to work on this fall, and then try to transition them, because sometimes transitioning lessons to the golf course is tough for people because they don't trust it. This is the time of year to learn to go out there and trust hitting shots you've maybe never hit before, and work on your game. Just be productive, though, and be creative. Go out there this fall and don't just play golf the same way you play it every time. Try to add something new to your game every time you go out there and play. Challenge yourself to hit, you know, whatever it is. You know, hit your wedges more frequently, or lay up so you can hit a wedge, or, you know, things like that, so you can work on weaknesses in your game. Throw a couple balls in the bunker and get used to hitting bunker shots. Something to make yourself better and more confident as you go forward.
All right, good advice.
I like to track which clubs I use the least in a round, like this time of year. Like, you know, your traditional sets, and you go through and you're like, you know what, I hadn't hit the six iron in three rounds. Right.
It depends on the course you play too. Right. Sometimes you get a lot of wedges. I haven't sold a three iron to anybody in 5 to 7 years. So, you know, even look at your equipment.
I love my three iron.
Yeah. Look at your equipment. See if your equipment's fitting you properly and things like that. There's a lot of things you can do to make yourself better and in turn have more fun playing.
That's right. Kudos to everybody at the Western Europe PGA and Steve Barkowski, the executive director, for not only sponsoring our show and giving us our tip of the week every week, but to all the pros about all the courses that we've gone to this year, providing us with their great insight and hosting us with warm welcomes every Saturday. We appreciate that as well. So thanks to the Western York PGA for helping out here with Tee to Green.
Yeah, they've done a great job, especially growing that junior league. If you have a kid interested in golf, mark this down right now. Next year, I am going to check to make sure I can get my son or daughter signed up for PGA Junior League.
PGA Junior League, the PGA Junior Tour, our foundation, the work we do with the vets. You know, I'm proud of all the things we do.
And drive, chip, and putt.
Drive, chip, and putt's great. Yeah, there's so many functions, and they're all for fun. And they're all just to, you know, play golf, get your kids out, help the vets. Whatever we can do, that's kind of the mission of the PGA.
That's right. Before we go here, another tweet this week on the Fireside with Phil series. These are just must-watch all the time. This week, it's a two-part video with Justin Thomas. He hasn't released the second part yet.
Oh, okay, because I saw the first part.
Yeah, the first part talks about when he and JT, I guess, had one of their first rounds together, and I guess they were both off the green in a similar spot, and Thomas putted this ball off the fringe or kind of off the...
It was at Pinehurst. They were playing a practice round at Pinehurst.
So they were off the green. Thomas decides to putt it, and he putted to, I don't know, close to the hole. Mickelson then takes out his 64-degree lob wedge and does what Phil does and throws it just about as close, just a little short. And Thomas, trying, I guess, to kind of see, like, how much could he push Phil, because he knows Phil talks a lot, said something about, oh, you know, look who's closer here or whatever. And Phil's response was, yeah, my dad would have putted that too.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
So. He is.
He's so quick with that. I know.
His Twitter feed is amazing. And everybody's tweeting at him, and he's tweeting back. And I love the tweets saying, you know what? I was a Tiger guy, but you're awesome on here. Like, I hated you because I love Tiger, you know?
Yeah.
It was just really, really cool.
That's right.
I want his diet, by the way. Oh, my gosh.
If you follow him and Club Pro Guy, you've got good entertainment on Twitter.
No Club doubt. Pro Guy is very funny.
Before we go, some thank yous here. Our presenting sponsors, the Western New York PGA, as we just said, great work they do all across Western New York. We thank them for their sponsorship. Woods to Wedges, inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Speaking of things to do.
Get fit.
To get fit, get your clubs ready, check your equipment. Great spot to go there. Go see Donna and Kevin and Pat and everybody in the Whirly Dome there at Woods to Wedges. Michelob Ultra, they've sponsored not only our show, but a lot of our other Tee to Green events as well.
The Duster Challenge they sponsored.
And our stress relief after the show.
That's right. Custom Turf, you heard from Steve today. We appreciate him. And our home clubs, Fox Valley, Tantera, and Briarwood. If you want to be a member at any of those three places, we would suggest it. Go ahead and contact them there. We appreciate their support as well. And to you listening as well, thank you. Derek Kramer, we're not letting you go without a thank you. Kevin, as you always say, the most important part of producing this show, waking up.
That's right. Getting up on time.
And Derek does it every single week and I think it's the does bumps. A phenomenal job.
I think it's the bumps in the most.
He's thinking about him on Friday and Thursday. He's getting them ready. So, Derek Kramer, thank you very much. And thank you for listening. Jeff, Kevin, it was a blast as always. We'll keep it going on tee2green.golf and our podcast.
It's a fun summer. It was a really fun summer. Man. Yeah. We started early this year. It's been a great year.
That's right. Enjoy your fall. Enjoy football season. And we'll be getting ready for Sabres. They're going to be good this year, right, Kevin?
Oh, I thought my mic was off. Need better goaltending.
All right. Thanks. Thanks to all who listened. For Jeff Mitis and Kevin Sylvester, I'm Brian Colesiel. Thanks for being a part of Tee to Green all season long right here on WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.